Autumn arrived gently at Ravenshire Manor, draping the vast estate in shades of amber and gold. The ancient stone house stood upon a hill overlooking rolling fields and distant woodlands, its tall windows glowing warmly against the cooling evenings. Servants moved through its corridors with practiced efficiency, preparing for another season of noble visitors, while the master of the estate carried a burden no one could see. In the manor's kitchen, Agatha Whitmore stood before a long wooden table, kneading bread dough with steady hands. At 25, she had become the heart of the household below stairs. Her meals were praised by guests who never knew her name, and her kindness earned the loyalty of every servant who worked beside her. Though Flower dusted her sleeves and her workdays began before sunrise, she possessed a quiet dignity that hardship had never managed to erase. Years earlier, her father had been a village schoolmaster who filled their modest home with books and lessons. He taught her history, literature, and philosophy whenever his duties allowed. When illness claimed him and debts consumed what little they owned, Agatha had entered service to survive. Yet she never abandoned her love of learning. Each evening, after the kitchen fires dimmed, she spent precious moments reading borrowed novels beside a candle. That particular morning began like any other until hurried footsteps echoed through the servants' hall. "The Duke has received important visitors," announced Mrs. Hargrove, the housekeeper. "Everyone must be at their best." The servants exchanged curious glances. Important visitors often meant demanding days. Agatha returned to her work without complaint. Noble affairs rarely touched her life directly. Dukes, earls, and ladies belonged to a world separated from hers by invisible walls stronger than stone. Above stairs, Duke Cecil Ashford sat alone in his study. At 34, he commanded respect wherever he went. Tall, composed, and impeccably mannered, he represented everything Victorian society admired in an aristocrat. Yet beneath his polished exterior lingered a loneliness that had deepened with every passing year. His parents had died when he was young, leaving him to inherit responsibility before he understood happiness. Duty became his constant companion. He managed estates, attended political gatherings, and fulfilled countless obligations expected of his title. People admired him. Few truly knew him. A letter lay open upon his desk. His aunt, Lady Beatrice Ashford, had written with unmistakable urgency. The upcoming Ravenshire autumn gathering would bring several influential families to the estate. Among them would be eligible young women whose parents eagerly sought advantageous marriages. Lady Beatrice insisted the occasion presented the perfect opportunity for Cecil to announce his intention to wed Cecil's side heavily. Marriage, in his world, was often treated as a transaction disguised as romance. Wealth joined wealth. Titles strengthened titles. Affection, if it appeared at all, arrived later. He wanted something different. Unfortunately, society had little patience for such ideals. Later that afternoon, Lady Beatrice arrived in person. "You are no longer a young man, Cecil," she declared while settling into a chair opposite him. "The future of this family cannot remain uncertain." "The future of the family is secure," he replied calmly. "The estate is secure, the title is secure, your lineage is not." Cecil resisted the urge to argue. His aunt leaned forward. "The gathering begins in less than 2 weeks. Distinguished families are already making plans. You must choose a suitable bride. And if I do not," her expression hardened, "then society will assume there is something wrong with you." After she departed, silence reclaimed the study. Cecil stared through the window toward the distant gardens. The prospect of spending an entire week enduring calculated conversations and forced courtship filled him with exhaustion. Seeking escape from his thoughts, he wandered through the manor. His steps eventually carried him toward the kitchen. The room bustled with activity. Pots simmered. Fresh herbs scented the air. Servants hurried between stations. At the center of the organized chaos stood Agatha. She was discussing a menu adjustment with one of the maids, her voice calm and confident. Cecil paused unnoticed. "There is no reason to waste the pears," Agatha said. "We can use them for the tarts tomorrow." The maid smiled gratefully. It was a simple exchange, yet something about Agatha's manner caught his attention. She spoke with intelligence rather than authority, earning cooperation without demanding it. Before he could leave, she turned and nearly collided with him. Her eyes widened. "Your Grace." The surrounding servants immediately became nervous. Cecil offered a reassuring nod. "There is no need for alarm." Agatha lowered her gaze respectfully. "Can I assist you with something, Your Grace? I was merely walking." The answer sounded foolish even to him. To his surprise, a faint smile touched her lips. "Then I hope the kitchen has provided an interesting destination." For a moment, he laughed. The reaction startled them both. Most people carefully measured every word spoken in his presence. Agatha's response had been natural. Their conversation might have ended there had a book not slipped from a nearby shelf. Agatha quickly retrieved it. Cecil noticed the worn cover. "You read poetry." A trace of embarrassment crossed her face. "When time permits." The discussion that followed lasted only minutes, yet it revealed more about her than he expected. She spoke thoughtfully about literature, education, and the authors she admired. Her knowledge rivaled that of many ladies he encountered in drawing rooms. When she returned to work, Cecil left the kitchen carrying an unexpected idea. By evening, that idea refused to disappear. The autumn gathering would place enormous pressure upon him. Every conversation would become a negotiation. Every dance would invite speculation. Every smile would be interpreted as interest. Unless he changed the rules. The following morning, he requested Agatha's presence in the library. She arrived visibly confused. "You wish to see me, Your Grace?" Cecil stood beside the fireplace, struggling to determine how such a conversation should begin. Finally, he faced her. "I need your help." Agatha blinked. "My help? Yes. What sort of help could a cook possibly provide a duke?" A strange mixture of determination and uncertainty settled over him. Then he spoke the words that would alter both their lives. "Be my duchess for one day." The silence that followed seemed to stop time itself. Agatha stared at him, certain she had misunderstood. Cecil, however, remained entirely serious, and for the first time in years, neither of them could predict what would happen next. Agatha stared at the Duke of Ravenshire in stunned silence. For several seconds, she wondered whether she had misheard him. The library remained perfectly still except for the crackling fireplace and the distant ticking of a clock. "Your Grace," she finally said, "I believe you have mistaken me for someone else." "I have not." "You ask me to be your duchess. For one day. That does not improve the situation." Despite his serious expression, amusement flickered briefly in Cecil's eyes. He explained everything carefully. The upcoming gathering would attract ambitious families determined to secure his attention. If society believed he had already chosen a future duchess, the relentless pressure would disappear. He needed someone intelligent enough to navigate conversations and composed enough to withstand scrutiny. "And you chose the cook?" Agatha asked. "I chose the only person in this house who speaks honestly to me." The answer unsettled her more than the proposal itself. She tried to refuse. The plan was absurd. A servant could never convincingly pass as a noblewoman among experienced aristocrats. Yet Cecil remained patient. He described the financial compensation he intended to provide. The sum would be enough to help her pursue the dream she had quietly carried for years, opening a bakery of her own. The offer lingered in her thoughts long after she left the library. For two nights, she slept poorly. Reason warned her against accepting. Curiosity tempted her toward adventure. Necessity reminded her how difficult independence would be without assistance. On the third morning, she returned to the library. "If I agree," she said, "the arrangement ends when the gathering ends." "It does. And afterward, everything returns to normal." Cecil hesitated so briefly that she almost missed it. "Yes," Agatha extended her hand. "Then I accept." The following days transformed the manor into a place of preparation. A trusted dressmaker arrived from London. Etiquette instructors were discreetly employed. Agatha learned details of noble customs she had previously observed only from a distance. She practiced introductions, formal greetings, and ballroom conversation. Yet she discovered that much of aristocratic society relied less upon elegance than confidence. Meanwhile, Cecil found himself spending increasing amounts of time with her. Their lessons often became discussions, discussions became conversations. Conversations stretched unexpectedly long. One afternoon, they walked through the manor's portrait gallery while reviewing family history. Agatha paused before a painting of Cecil's parents. "You resemble your mother, so everyone tells me. She looks kind." A shadow crossed his face. "She was." Agatha sensed the grief he still carried despite the years. "You miss them, every day." The admission emerged quietly. Most people treated him as a duke first and a man second. Agatha simply listened. For reasons he could not explain, her understanding felt comforting. The morning of the gathering arrived beneath clear autumn skies. Carriages rolled steadily up Ravenshire's long drive. Distinguished guests emerged in elegant attire. Servants hurried between entrances and guest chambers. Laughter drifted through the manor's corridors. Cecil waited near the grand staircase. For perhaps the first time in his life, nervousness threatened his composure. Then Agatha appeared. The room seemed to pause. Her gown was understated compared to the extravagant fashions favored by society's wealthiest ladies. Soft ivory silk complemented rather than overwhelmed her natural beauty. Her dark hair had been arranged with graceful simplicity. She looked neither like a servant nor an imitation aristocrat. She looked entirely herself. For several seconds, Cecil forgot to speak. Agatha noticed. "Is something wrong?" "No," he answered honestly. "Nothing at all." Together, they descended the staircase. Guests immediately assumed she was the woman who had captured the Duke's heart. Introductions followed. To Cecil's relief, Agatha navigated every conversation with remarkable ease. Years of reading had given her knowledge. Years of hardship had given her wisdom. She listened carefully, spoke thoughtfully, and avoided the arrogance displayed by many genuine nobles. Several guests appeared impressed. Others appeared suspicious. Among the latter was Lady Eleanor Winthrop, a wealthy young woman whose family had long hoped for a marriage alliance with Cecil. Throughout the afternoon, she watched Agatha closely. Meanwhile, Cecil discovered an unexpected problem. He was enjoying himself. The arrangement had been intended as a performance. Yet whenever Agatha smiled at a guest or laughed at one of his remarks, the artificial nature of the situation became increasingly difficult to remember. Late in the day, they escaped briefly to the Rose Garden. The gathering's noise faded behind them. Agatha exhaled deeply. "I had forgotten how exhausting wealthy people can be." Cecil laughed. "That observation alone proves you belong among them. I assure you it proves the opposite." They wandered slowly along a stone pathway lined with fading blooms. For the first time since accepting his proposal, Agatha allowed herself to relax. The garden glowed beneath golden afternoon light. Fallen leaves drifted across the grass. The moment felt strangely peaceful. "What would you do?" Cecil asked. "If you could choose any future," she looked surprised. "No one has asked me that in years." "What is your answer?" A soft smile appeared. "I would open a bakery, a small one, nothing grand, somewhere near the sea." He imagined it instantly. "And you?" The question caught him unprepared. No one ever asked what he wanted. After a thoughtful pause, he answered honestly. "I would like a life that belongs to me." Their eyes met. Neither spoke for several moments. Something delicate and unfamiliar passed between them. The sound of approaching footsteps broke the spell. Lady Eleanor emerged from a nearby path. Her smile was polite. Her eyes were not. "There you are, Your Grace." Cecil's expression cooled. "Lady Eleanor." She turned toward Agatha. Your family must be very proud. They would be. How unfortunate that nobody seems familiar with them. The remark sounded harmless. Its intention was not. Agatha understood immediately. Lady Alina had begun asking questions. That evening, the gathering reached its peak with a formal dinner followed by dancing. Rumors moved through the manor almost as quickly as servants carrying trays. Questions circulated quietly. Who exactly was the mysterious woman beside the Duke? Why had no one heard of her before? Why did her history remain vague? Agatha noticed curious glances. She heard whispers abruptly cease when she approached. Anxiety tightened within her chest. Yet when the orchestra began playing, Cecil crossed the ballroom directly toward her. May I have this dance? She accepted. The waltz carried them across polished floors beneath glittering chandeliers. Guests watched. Neither noticed. For a few precious minutes, the world seemed distant. Agatha became aware only of his steady hand and gentle gaze. Cecil became aware only of how naturally she belonged beside him. When the music ended, neither immediately stepped away. Then applause echoed through the ballroom. Reality returned. Across the room, Lady Alina exchanged meaningful looks with several guests. The rumors had become certainty. The truth was drawing closer. And for the first time since agreeing to the arrangement, Agatha feared the consequences waiting beyond the final dance. The ballroom's music continued long after Agatha stopped hearing it. As guests resumed dancing and conversation, she became painfully aware of every glance directed toward her. Rumors no longer lingered in whispers. Suspicion had settled across the room like a gathering storm. Though no one openly challenged her, she sensed questions hiding behind polite smiles. Cecil noticed the change immediately. "Are you all right?" he asked quietly. "Of course." The answer lacked conviction. Before he could press further, another guest approached, forcing them apart. Throughout the remainder of the evening, obligations pulled Cecil from one conversation to another. Agatha remained at his side when necessary, yet a growing distance separated them. Near midnight, she stepped onto a secluded terrace for fresh air. The autumn wind carried a chill that sharpened her thoughts. For days, she had convinced herself that the arrangement remained exactly what they had agreed upon, a temporary performance. Somewhere along the way, that certainty had disappeared. She cared for him. The realization no longer allowed denial. She admired his kindness, understood his loneliness, and cherished the rare moments when duty slipped away and revealed the man beneath the title. Unfortunately, those feelings changed nothing. He was a duke. She was a servant. The truth stood between them as firmly as any wall. Behind her, voices drifted through an open window. Agatha recognized Lady Alina's voice immediately. I knew something was wrong. Another woman responded. You discovered her identity. Not entirely, but I learned enough. She appeared at Ravenshire only as a member of the household staff. Laughter followed. A servant pretending to be a duchess. Imagine the scandal if society learned the full story. Agatha closed her eyes. Every fear she carried had become reality. She returned silently to her chamber and remained awake until dawn. When the first light entered through the curtains, her decision had already been made. She wrote a brief letter. The words came slowly. She thanked Cecil for his generosity. She apologized for any trouble her presence had caused. Most importantly, she avoided confessing what truly motivated her departure. Love would only complicate goodbye. After sealing the letter, she packed her belongings. No servant questioned her departure. Most assumed she had received instructions connected to the arrangement. Within an hour, she was gone. The gathering concluded later that morning. Cecil spent much of the day enduring farewells from departing guests. Though exhausted, he found himself anticipating a conversation with Agatha once the house grew quiet again. He wanted to tell her something, not a declaration, not yet, but he wanted her to know how grateful he was, how much her companionship had meant. When he finally searched for her, he found only an envelope resting upon a desk in the library. His expression darkened as he read. Then he read the letter again, and again. The words remained unchanged. She had left. A strange emptiness settled over him. At first he told himself the feeling would pass. The arrangement had ended exactly as intended. Life should return to normal. Instead, the following days became increasingly difficult. Meals felt quieter. The gardens felt larger. The library felt colder. Every familiar place contained memories of conversations he wished to repeat. For the first time, Cecil allowed himself to confront the truth. He loved her. The realization arrived without drama. It arrived with certainty. Unfortunately, certainty offered little comfort. Weeks passed. Lady Beatrice resumed her campaign for marriage. Several influential families renewed their interest. Cecil rejected every proposal. His aunt's patience gradually vanished. "You cannot spend your life waiting for a fantasy," she argued. "It is not a fantasy." "Then what is it?" He met her gaze calmly. "A woman." The answer ended the discussion. Meanwhile, far from Ravenshire, Agatha began building a new life. She settled in a small coastal town where fishing boats filled the harbor and sea winds carried the scent of salt through narrow streets. Using the money Cecil had provided, she rented a modest storefront and transformed it into a bakery. The work was demanding. She welcomed the challenge. Each morning she rose before sunrise to prepare bread, pastries, and cakes. Customers gradually arrived. Business slowly improved. Her dream, once distant, became reality. Yet happiness remained incomplete. No amount of success erased memory. Sometimes she found herself recalling conversations in the Rose Garden. Sometimes she remembered his laughter. Most often she remembered the way he looked at her during their final dance. Winter arrived. Snow covered rooftops and quieted the streets. One evening, after closing the bakery, Agatha stood beside the window watching flakes drift through the darkness. The bell above the door suddenly rang. She turned. A tall figure entered from the cold. For a moment she believed she was imagining him. Then the man removed his coat. Cecil. His name escaped as a whisper. Months of longing vanished beneath a rush of disbelief. He looked tired from travel. He also looked relieved. "I finally found you." Agatha struggled to speak. "You searched for me. I searched everywhere." The simple admission carried more emotion than any speech. Silence lingered between them. Then she asked the question she feared most. "Why?" Cecil stepped closer, because leaving was supposed to make things easier. His voice remained steady. It did the opposite. Emotion tightened her chest. He continued. "The day I asked you to be my duchess was meant to solve a problem." A faint smile touched his lips. Instead, it created one. Agatha's eyes filled with tears. "You are a duke. I know. Society will never approve." "Society has had many opinions throughout my life." He moved another step closer. "For once, I have decided not to care." The answer broke the last of her resistance. Months of restraint disappeared. Cecil gently took her hands. His next words changed everything. "I do not want you to be my duchess for one day." The bakery seemed impossibly quiet. Snow continued falling beyond the window. "I want you beside me for every day after." Tears slipped down Agatha's cheeks. For a moment, she could only smile. Then she gave the answer both had been waiting to hear. "Yes." Relief and joy transformed his expression. Outside, winter deepened across the sleeping town. Inside, two lonely hearts finally found home in one another. Yet beyond that small bakery waited a larger world, uncertain and judgmental, where love would soon face its greatest test of all.